It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Cheers and welcome back to the show. So glad you could spare a few minutes to spend with us. On the show today, I had the pleasure of having Dr. Jacques Podonneau as our guest. Welcome, Dr. Podonneau. So much to talk about today.
Thank you, Deborah. Nice to be here.
I always like to start with a working definition. When I think of an aneurysm, I think of a word that's really hard to spell, first of all. And I also think of a bulge in a blood vessel, sort of like a bulge on an overinflated tire. I'm sure you have a far more sophisticated definition, so maybe you could share it with us.
Well, thanks. Thank you, Deborah. I would like to accept your definition for an aneurysm, which is basically a bulge in the artery. Mm-hmm. That bulge can happen anywhere along the path of an artery. It can happen in the aorta, up in the chest, in the ascending aorta, in the descending aorta, in the abdominal aorta, mm-hmm. and in the leg arteries. So depending on where it happens in the body, we term it abdominal aortic aneurysm because it happens in the abdominal part of the aorta,
mm-hmm.
thoracic aortic aneurysm because it happens in the thoracic, within the chest part of the aorta,
okay.
and then popliteal aneurysm because it happens in the leg part of the aorta.
Okay.
But basically, irrespective of where it happens in the body, what it is basically a ballooning of the artery to at least twice the normal size.
Okay.
And just like a balloon, as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, there is a point where it blows, it bursts. And so that's the problem with aneurysm. We don't want to get to the point where it ruptures. We want to catch it before it ruptures and want to be able to fix it before it ruptures.
What is the survival rate currently for people who have ruptured?
If you have an aneurysm and it's found and we can repair it, your survival rate is pretty good. If we can fix it with an endovascular approach, 99% chance that you will survive. Now, it's also important to understand that patients that have aneurysms also have other comorbidities like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high glucose. Now, independent of fixing the aneurysm, the other risk factors that I just mentioned
mm-hmm.
also need to be taken care of in order to be able to have the same lifespan as someone without an aneurysm or without any of those comorbidities.
A lot of our listeners want to know, are there medications if you have an aneurysm and it's a small one, are there medications or do you just not deal with that?
Well, there are ways that you can help prevent it from growing faster. One would be to control your blood pressure. If you have hypertension, you want to make sure that you keep your blood pressure under check.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the most important thing. The other thing is if you smoke, you want to stop smoking because we know that the nicotine in the cigarette tends to accelerate the degradation of the wall of the artery.
Okay.
So smoking is and probably controlling your blood pressure are the two most important things that you can do to help control the increase in size of the aneurysm.
So there's no real specific medication for aneurysm, although there may be high blood pressure medication.
There may be blood pressure medications which some patients may be taking, and maybe taking it to control their blood pressure, which may help
mm-hmm.
decrease the rate of aneurysm growth. But there's no specific medical therapy or pill or magic pill that you will take and control the aneurysm.
Okay. There are surgical procedures and such. All right. Now, aneurysms can also be due to an inherited disease like the Marfan syndrome. Now, this seems awfully unfair to me to pass down an aneurysm to your kid, but at least now we have sophisticated tests to check for these things and to hopefully control the severity of them. Is that right?
Yes. As you said, there is a genetic component to aneurysms like Marfan syndrome, like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And what basically it is there is an abnormal chromosome or gene which you inherit, which is responsible for manufacturing of collagen, which is part of the component of an artery.
Mm-hmm.
And in patients with Marfan syndrome, that gene is abnormal, and so the wall of the arteries is very weak,
okay.
tends to break. And So at a very young age, those children develop aneurysms. And normally aneurysms are more common in the elderly population, mm-hmm. 50s, 60s. But in Marfan's, you find them having these aneurysms as early as 20s, mm-hmm. 30 years. So if you do have a genetic predisposition, one, yes, it's easy to pick it up using a genetic test. And once you know that you have that abnormality, you want to make sure that you follow up with your physician.
Right.
That they are aggressive in checking you out and in watching the arteries in your body.
You're really in control of your own fate at that point. I mean, it's what you eat, how you live. It's up to you.
Yes, there is that component, yes. Your dietary component, smoking, sedentary lifestyle, which is all part of the cardiovascular risk factors, mm-hmm. Not just for aneurysms. And then there's that component that you are not in control of, as you said, the genetic part, which mm-hmm. is inherited.
Right. Do you refer your patients to a dietitian or a diabetic counselor to help them change their lifestyle habits so they're less likely
yes.
to develop an aneurysm?
With the aneurysm, I don't necessarily, as I said, I don't think there is a very strong link with the diet. It's mostly smoking and high blood pressure.
Okay.
But I do have all my patients, irrespective of whether they have an aneurysm or not, recommend that the main thing is if they're smoking, they stop smoking. If they need some help with diet control, especially if they have high blood pressure, they can take low sodium foods.
Mm-hmm.
If they have problems with their with their diabetes, that we get them low carbohydrate diets. And so we do have dietary consults. And dietitians that we would recommend them to go to help with that aspect of decreasing their risk.
Are these dietitians there at Hoge Hospital, or do you send them elsewhere?
No, we do have a comprehensive center here with dietitians. We have nutritionists, we have dietitians, we have nurse practitioners that will help you with an exercise plan. We have a very good physical therapist unit, cardiac rehabilitation unit, which is specifically for cardiac patients, where they go through various exercise programs, graded exercise programs before and after surgery.
Okay.
So all that is incorporated into our heart and vascular center here at Hoge.
And when you're improving your heart function, you're improving many other things within your system. The exercise is more beneficial than just the heart, correct?
Yes, you improve your whole outlook on life is also improved. Your self-confidence is improved. Your brain, I think you overall have a better feeling about yourself. And I think it's for patients, it's also... to find that you are able, you were once hypertensive or you were once diabetic, and now you are able to get all that under control without using medications, but just mm-hmm. by lifestyle modification, by dietary modification, I think is very encouraging.
There have been so many advances when it comes to aneurysms. We can talk all day long about it, but just briefly, tell us what your most common procedures are now when it comes to not the open types of surgeries, but the more minimally invasive.
Minimally invasive, yes.
Yes.
Now, I do both open and minimal invasive surgeries for aneurysms,
mm-hmm.
but I have, over the last few years, been doing more of the minimal invasive techniques, which are endovascular approaches to treating abdominal and thoracic aortic aneurysms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the early pioneers in the field of thoracic aortic aneurysm repair using minimal invasive techniques. I do have a textbook that's out on those techniques and on the repairs. But basically, it's being able to repair those aneurysms without an incision in your chest or your abdomen, being able to repair them through a very small incision through your groin,
mm-hmm.
and then threading the stent up into the aneurysm, and then using very sophisticated imaging techniques to basically exclude the aneurysm. It's a very rewarding procedure, both for myself and for the patients, in that they are able to go home within 2 to 3 days as opposed to 7 to 10 days in the hospital, and their recuperation is very, very quick, very fast, and most patients are so thrilled after they've gone through such a procedure.
Absolutely. We're talking today with Dr. Jacques Podonneau, who's been so gracious with his time. He is the surgical director of hybrid intervention at Hoag Hospital, and we've learned a tremendous amount about preventing and coping with heart disease from him today. Thank you so much, Dr. Podonneau.
Thank you very much, Deborah.
You can listen to a podcast of this show anytime you like or share it with a friend. It's very important free information. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.